Good morning, everyone. I have not used this. Okay, now I have. Today, I want to talk about what has God asked you to do. Big things and little things. I asked Rodney if I could preach in his absence, and he said I could. And I'm very excited to be up here. And I'm very humbled to bring you a very small portion of God's Word. I will start by saying thank you. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for the opportunity. At some point, I noticed that God asks many people to do many things. Big stories we learn about and remember. These heroes, these villains, stick with us. The big acts, the little acts, the behavior of the people before and after. I won't mention Jonah and Nineveh. I won't be mentioning Paul and his multiple journeys. I won't be mentioning Elijah or Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Joseph, Judas, Isaiah, Ezekiel, King Saul, Jeremiah, or many others. I mention those just to get your brain going. As I read these verses and talk about the people involved, I want you to think about the examples I provide and how many you can think of on your own and what the purpose of each. I want you to think of the circumstances each are in. How old are they? What was their status in society? I want you to question everything. Emily and I were talking about Naaman and how what he had gone through and was asked of him brought her to obey the gospel. That conversation led to this sermon. It led to me thinking about the magnitude of God's word. It led to me wanting to learn as much as I can. Now, I'm not going to start at the beginning, but I'm going to get close. Noah. I didn't know how big to make the font. I'm going to read this anyway. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make the length of it. 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to be a cubit above, and set the door in the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Noah was old when God spoke to him about the ark. He was around 500. Noah was a good man, and to reward him, God told him to build a boat. Well, this isn't any boat. This is a lifeboat. And I say a lifeboat, I mean the lifeboat. It was so big and complicated that he did not finish the boat and preparations until he was 600 years old. I'm 51. I have lived a long time. But that is like a tenth of what Noah lived before he started building an ark. You know what's interesting about this as well? God told Noah that him, his wife, his sons, and his son's wife would be on the boat. I think that's eight people. Noah didn't have any sons when he was told this. After the flood, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. Noah had accomplished one of the biggest things ever. He preserved life on earth. Noah came a long way from where he started and had grown as a person. As a side note, Noah and his sons were still alive when Abram was born. Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abram was from Ur, which is that red dot. And God told him to go to that red star. A straight path, which is not the path, is about 600 miles, 700 miles. Abram took Lot and animals and everything that he had and went up from Ur to Haran, which is about 700 miles. And then he went down to around Bethel, just north of Bethel, which is about 10 miles from Jerusalem. That's 1,400 miles. From here to Mexico City is 1,400 miles. Denver is not even 1,400 miles from here, and it would take you a couple of days of driving in a new fancy transportation to get to Denver. That's not easy to get to Denver. He just went 1,400 miles with everything that he had. This is Ur. This is a ziggurat of Ur. It was an established city. It wasn't three tents in the wilderness. They had industrialization as far as this goes. Like you can see at the top, there's some ruins and remains, but that's a ziggurat of Ur. Was this not a big thing to do? Uproot yourself, take your kin, Lot, and your animals with you, survive multiple situations where most would die. Abram went a long ways and grew as a person during this trek to the future promised land. Abraham sacrifices. After these things, God tested Abraham, said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and sent two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and he went to the place of which God had told him. And then this, Abraham, he's older now, is asked to do the unthinkable, a task bigger than before. Sacrifice his only son on a mountain, God tells him. But he trusts in God, and his faith is mentioned in the New Testament as an example. Abraham was a long way from where Abram started in Ur and grew as a person. Moses, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Moses was 80 years old when God told him to lead his people from Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, but also be a spokesperson for God. Moses spent a lot of time on mountains. We all know the story of Moses. Raised by Pharaoh's daughter, then at 40 he fled. Got married, had children, and after 40 years he was uprooted again. This was a big task for any man. Lead what could have been 3 million people, their animals, tents, the tabernacle. Moses was asked to move the equivalent of San Antonio. I don't know if you've ever been to San Antonio, but it is huge. It's a wonderful city, but imagine, Cookeville's about 35,000 people. That's nothing. That's a tenth of what Abraham was asked. We couldn't get 50 people in Cookeville to come to a meeting if we said, hey, we got to move the city, come to the meeting. That's not going to happen. But Abraham did this. And Noah had done this. Noah had come a long way from where he started, and he even grew as a person. Isaac. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. Israel. Israel sacrifices. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the first lamb, a tenth measure of fine flour mingled with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil and a fourth of a hin of wine for drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer it with grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and to speak to you there. Daryl had mentioned the sacrifices earlier. Was it Daryl or is it Art? I don't know. Somebody mentioned sacrifices earlier. Israel, every day, was to sacrifice two lambs. Two lambs with specific attributes. At a specific time, with flour, oil, wine. Do you know how many lambs you have to be able to accomplish this? This is a big operation. All of this while they wander the wilderness, not knowing they'll be in the same spot they woke up in. This was the minimum sacrifices. There was a class a long time ago, because there were other sacrifices in different feasts. And I remember Dennis Oliver taught a class about, I don't remember what book of the Bible was. It could have been Leviticus. But he said there were so many sacrifices, it would have looked like a river of blood, so many feet deep for miles. I don't know how to describe how much and how many animals would be sacrificed. Israel had come a long way from where they had started, and they grew as a nation. Remember, they started with Joseph going to Egypt with his family. There was 20-something, maybe 30 people. Phinehas. I love this one. Phinehas is zealous. And behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel, while they were weeping in the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose and left the congregation and took a spear in his hand and went after the man of Israel and entered the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. Thus the plague of the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. Phinehas saw someone flaunting the law and was so zealous for God that he ran after them and stuck a spear through both of them. Compared to some previous actions, this was small. This was a little. But it did not stop the plague. With this action, Phinehas had elevated himself in the eyes of the others. He had come a little ways from where he was, but had grown as a person. Israel keeps distance. When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." When Moses was on the mountain, He was told to tell the people a small thing, a little thing. Stay away from the mountain. Keep your animals away from the mountain. That's it. Do not touch. Israel had come a little ways to Mount Sinai from Egypt. They had, I think, 7 stops, but it wasn't that far into their journey. They literally just had to hang out and do their daily tasks and wait for the trumpet to sound. Israel would grow as a nation from this. Lot's wife. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his 2 daughters by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought him out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." Leave and don't look back. That's a little thing. It's a very little task. Unfortunately, Lot's unnamed wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Lot had come a long way. Remember, he was from Ur. He came with Abram from Ur to this area. And when they got too big as a group, they split up. The Lord was merciful to him and his family, but Lot's wife had not gone very far at all. And there were consequences. Lot grew as a person since he had left from where he had started. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. David was young and ruddy when he stood face to face with the giant, a villain who was also a Philistine. He was even younger when he killed lions and bears that tried to steal some of the flock. David, with a sling and a stone, a small little act, defeated another threat to the flock. David left with the flock as his brothers fought for Israel, was not at the top of the pecking order, even in his own family. This time, though, the flock was Israel. David was a shepherd to Israel. That's big. David had come a long ways from where he had grown, and he had grown as a person. I want to talk a little bit about big things and little things, like in the military. The top award that you can get is the Medal of Honor. You have to do big, extraordinary things, up to and including losing your life, to save someone, many people. But there's also a smaller award, like an Achievement Medal. If you do your job very well, I'll relate this to performance reviews. If you exceed expectations in your performance review, they can award you the Navy has, it's a Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal. The Army has an Army Achievement Medal, the Air Force Achievement Medal. Just, that's a little thing. Medal of Honor is a big thing. Some of these examples that I have given so far would earn you, let's see, Noah would get the Medal of Honor. Phineas would get an Achievement Medal. But it's a few big and little things. I want to talk about John the Baptist prepares. The beginning of the God, I forgot to put, this is Mark 1:1-4.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist was given a really big task. Prepare the way for the Lord. Let everyone know that his cousin was the Messiah, and that they needed to repent and be baptized. John had come a long way from the wilderness to the Jordan. John had zeal as well. How good was John? Jesus himself said there was not a greater man born of a woman than John. John had grown from nothing to this. Elizabeth's mothers. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Who prepared John? Elizabeth and Zechariah. She was given a big task to raise John the Baptist. She was older and she was barren. God blessed her with a child and gave her instructions. While she was still pregnant, Mary visited her and felt John move when she came near with Jesus. I think that's when he got the Holy Spirit. She raised him with the similarities of a Nazarite vow as well. We don't know if he ever cut his hair, it's not mentioned. But she had come a long way from where she started and grew as a person. Peter sleeps. And he went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not that I will, but that what you will. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour?" Peter, watch. Jesus brought Peter, John, and James with him to pray and asked them to watch. A simple request, really. How many of you have asked your children or a friend to watch you do something? Anyone with basic understanding can watch. Peter was lightly rebuked here when Jesus asked him, could he not watch 1 hour? Peter had come a long way, though, from where he started as a fisherman. But he had further to go. Jesus cleanses. Ooh, this is a good one here. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus, full of zeal, came to the temple with a whip and cleansed the temple. That was a big thing. Jesus was disrupting a major tradition. He overturned tables, set animals free, chased people out of the temple. Jesus, to this point, had come a long way from fleeing for his life from Herod, And then later, not wanting to turn water into wine. Peter listens this time. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, as he was saying these things, the cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Peter was again with Jesus on a mountain. This was the transfiguration. Peter was seeing something big happen. He was so amazed, he wanted to build a tent for each of them. God spoke to Peter, though, and clarified Jesus' role and position. Peter was reminded that Jesus was superior to Elijah and Moses. Peter had come a long way, but still he had a little ways to go. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." On yet another mountain, Jesus teaches. This is not just any message, though. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is a message that will live forever. This is about compassion, humility, thoughtfulness, and many other attributes we are to possess. These are the fundamentals. Jesus has come a long way to get to this mountain. Naaman. This is what started it all. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. But his servants came near to him and said, "My father, is it a great word the prophet has spoken to you? Will you not do it?" He has actually said, "Wash, be clean." So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman meets Elisha. If you remember, he came with chariots and all kinds. He came with pomp and circumstance. He brought it all. He was someone important. Elisha sent his servant out. He didn't even open his door for Naaman. He sent his servant out and said, "Go tell him to dip in the Jordan." Because Naaman was a leper. He's used to being told things a certain way. He wanted respect and reverence, and that is not what he got from Elisha. His slave spoke up and woke him up. Naaman did the simple task, the little thing of dipping in the Jordan. He had come a long way in his thinking. He had humbled himself, and after he obeyed, he was clean. He had skin as smooth as Weston and Colton. I thought I'd mention the twins. You dip. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You, me, us, them, those over there, are asked to start little. Be baptized. This small thing involves some of those very characteristics Jesus preached about in the Sermon on the Mount. It starts with humility. John the Baptist had it. Naaman had it. Everyone I talked about had it. What is keeping you from taking this little step? What is keeping you from growing? You share. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they had saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You, me, us, them, those over there, are asked to do a bigger task next. Share. Why is this bigger? Because teachers are held to a higher standard. In Hebrews 13:17, it states, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be no advantage to you." This message is for all ages. Be willing to learn from those ahead of you and teach those behind you. If you are teaching, you have grown a long way from where you started. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You, me, us, them, those over there, are asked to live. We're asked to live in a way that is a sacrifice. Remember I talked about sacrifices earlier and how many there were? A living sacrifice. Testing yourselves, refining yourself, living in a way that is holy and acceptable to God. This is not two lambs a day and countless animals on special feasts. Each day of your life, you are to go. Go closer to God by being better, by growing. If you are living each day the way God wants you to, you have grown a long way from where you started, and the distance to the holy mountain is short. I'll get to my conclusion while I read this. Some of us have grown very far, and some of us have not even started. We are here. We are comfortable, sometimes too comfortable. And we are a comfort to others. According to Ecclesiastes 1, life is tough and vain. We will toil, we will have sorrow, but according to Jesus and the Beatitudes, we will hunger for righteousness, we will have mercy and receive mercy, we will have sorrow. What Solomon asked, Jesus answered. What is the meaning of life? Well, Jesus gives us the how. How to start and listen. How to grow and learn. How to serve and share. God has not asked us to build an ark or to lead 2 million people into a new land. The big and little things we are asked to do pale in comparison to those who came before us. We are not asked to come up with something new under the sun. How far will you grow? What will you do with the one talent, the three talents, the five talents that God has given you? Young or old, here or there. God is calling you to spiritually go. Bear fruit. Don't be that fig tree that is cursed and cut off. If you are not a Christian and are here to take the first little step, please come forward. Come a little ways and let us help you. If you are a Christian and have stopped at the rest stop and fell asleep for too long, now is the time to awaken. Now is the time to grow the distance, distance yourself from where you started or stopped. Listen to God. Learn from God. Share. Come forward now as we stand and sing.